From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, this is Left, Right, and Center.
You like potato?
And you like potato?
You like tomato?
And you like tomato?
Potato?
Potato?
Tomato?
Tomato?
Let's call a thing on.
That nuclear deal with Russia plus fresh mortgage relief. Is Obama on a roll? Plus, has healthcare driven Republicans insane? And what did the Pope know and when did he know it? Hello again and welcome to Left, Right, and Center, your civilized yet provocative antidote to the screaming talking heads that dominate political debate. I'm Matt Miller, columnist for the Washington Post Online and senior fellow for the Center for American Progress, speaking for the Political Center while moderating our provocative crew here on Left, Right, and Center. Joining me on the left side of our Santa Monica studio today is Robert Scheer, editor-in-chief of TruthDig.com and professor at the Annenberg School for Communications at USC. On the right from Washington, as always, is Tony Blankley, columnist for the Washington Times and senior visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. And with us here in the Santa Monica mothership and in the independent progressive blogosphere is our own Arianna Huffington, editor-in-chief of the Huffington Post. A busy week. With Obama seeming, in the eyes of some, to have really pivoted off of the healthcare victory and now racking up a new arms control deal with Russia on Friday as we went to air, the New York Times reporting that he'd finalized a new arms control deal with Russia on Friday that will pare back the still formidable Cold War nuclear arsenals of each country, bringing to fruition one of the president's signature foreign policy objectives. The arms reductions, just to tee it up, Bob, as we go around the horn, embedded in the new treaty, a continuing evolution, not a radical shift, the New York Times is reporting, in the nuclear postures, but the legal limit on strategic warheads going down to 1,500-ish each from the 2,200 allowed now, launchers being these nuclear launchers down in half to 800 from 1,600 permitted. More details, obviously, still to come. And obviously, both sides retain ample arsenals, but a big deal, it seems. Robert, what do you make of it?
It is a very big deal, and I would respond to something you said in setting this up. I do think it's part of establishing that Obama is a can-do president, and I think that's one of the things that's driving the Republicans crazy. But this is a major thing. This is the first serious arms control treaty since 91. That's a long time, and in fact, the existing treaty had run out in December. And to get a one-third reduction, remember, the United States and Russia together have 90% of the nuclear weapons in the world. And to get a 90% reduction, and not only in the weapons, and hopefully making them safer or more controlled, and that's part of the modernization stuff that Gates was talking about, but also a cut in the bombers and a cut in the missiles, the launchers, is significant not only as a very big step. Unfortunately, it's going to take 7 years to do, but you know it's a step in the right direction, not just for these two former superpowers or adversaries, but also to have a united front to the rest of the world saying nuclear weapons are not usable. And this actually was Ronald Reagan's dream at the end of his years. Ronald Reagan was a genuine believer in missile defense because he thought it would be a basis for getting rid of nuclear weapons and having fewer of them. And it took Barack Obama to bring that dream, at least move it down the road significantly. So I say let's give him a lot of applause for this.
Tony, you know, I've always thought that Obama, I sort of agree with Bob that Obama's the first president since Reagan to have the moral imagination to lay out a vision of, you know, a world with no nuclear weapons. Obviously, this could take decades to get to. But it was the same kind of leap of, you know, all the bureaucrats on both sides say, of course, you can't do that. You know, it would be impossible. But there's something about that vision that I think is Reagan-esque, that Obama is in some ways picking up, that this is a marker on a path to. Yes, no? What do you make of it?
Well, you mentioned imagination. It sounds like John Lennon, at least. Or perhaps another Lennon. Look, if he had accomplished this 25 years ago, I would take my hat off, if I had one, to him. But, of course, today, in fact, literally today, when the North Koreans announced that they might consider a nuclear attack on Japan and the United States, and when there's a question of whether they may have sunk a South Korean naval ship with 100 men on board, and a day when the Iranian nuclear development is a great threat to mankind, Obama has managed by concession to gain a deal to reduce the Russian and American arms, nuclear arms, which is no threat to the world currently and hasn't been for a quarter of a century. and will be triumphing it. And of course, all his people will say, what a wonderful triumph. Let us just ask one question, because it's very early. We don't yet know. But I understand from sources in Moscow, of all places, that they have claimed victory in getting the president to concede regarding anti-missile defense. We'll have to find out how that develops. But that hasn't yet been announced by our White House. It has been announced by the Politburo, or where, the people who live in that building.
Oh, the Politburo. Please. You know, it's like, of course they're going to announce, no matter what was achieved or not achieved, they would announce victory and they would announce probably humiliating the United States. What else do they have going for them? But there's no question that anything that can reduce the amount of nuclear weapons increases the security of this country and of the world. I mean, it's not just whether the government has an intention to use them. It's the fact that terrorist groups being able to get hold of these nuclear weapons is the main danger we are facing. So I don't understand why you are saying they pose no threat. Any existing nuclear weapon poses a threat.
And there's still huge, arsenals left.
The Iranian, North Korean nuclear weapons, which are more likely to go to terrorists, are the ones that pose a threat. Our weapons, and quite frankly, the Russian's weapons, are not a threat.
But how can you say that? I mean, I've just seen an amazing documentary.
I just did.
An amazing documentary that hasn't come out yet, that Lawrence Bender produced for Participant Productions, that shows just exactly how easy it is for anyone to get hold of some of these weapons out of Russia.
It happens on 24 all the time.
Let me make a proposal. If somebody can fund a poll, ask whether people would feel today, whether people feel safer if Iran and North Korea didn't have nuclear weapons, or if they feel safer that the United States and Russia are reducing by 25% their thousands and thousands of nuclear weapons. I'll bet you that the former number would be the higher number.
Well,
not only is it not either or, Tony, come on, let's not be silly here. The point here is if the powers that have all of these weapons, which are enough to destroy every speck of life on this earth a number of times over, cannot come to recognize, and I will repeat Ronald Reagan's wisdom, that these are not usable weapons. These are anti-life. These are the devil's weapons, if you like. And then what was required right now when you bring up the North Korea, Iran, and others that have nuclear weapons is a united front of the existing nuclear club that says these are not usable weapons, and that gives them the authority and the potentially the muscle to lean on other countries that are the wannabe nuclears or the beginning nuclear power. And that is really the achievement. And by the way, I read the response from the Russians. There was none of this gloating. There was a recognition they had made real concessions. This was a hard-fought negotiation over a whole year. The guy who led really has had to endorse this whole effort is Secretary Gates, who was a Republican appointee, a hawk. And by the way, a guy who, when he was in the Air Force, worked in supervising Minutemen missiles. No one ever said he was soft on these weapons. And he's the one that gave the strongest statement of endorsement, as did the Joint Chiefs. So it's just silly to put this in opposition to trying to control rogue nations from having nuclear weapons. It makes it stronger and easier to control them.
We are going to have to move on, but I'm shocked that even with our pandering to Reagan in an attempt to find consensus with Tony on this issue, knowing we'd probably be attacking on health care, that has failed utterly. Tony, it almost seems as if you're seizing on any news item to attack Barack Obama, which seems almost shocking. But let's talk mortgage relief, Tony. And tell me, the president announcing a big new mortgage relief plan today, early details suggesting that it may help several million people with principal reduction. This being the issue of the millions of Americans who have underwater mortgages. Debate obviously focused on are we essentially creating moral hazard by bailing out people who shouldn't have taken on these debts in the first place? Others saying that if we don't do something to stop people from walking away and actually providing some relief, that it's going to prolong the housing crisis, the economic stagnation, et cetera. Tony, what did Obama do wrong today on this one?
Well, I don't have enough time on the show to say all the things that the president has done wrong, and let the record reflect that if I was given the time, I would rebut and hopefully refute the previous comments regarding Russia and nuclear weapons.
Oh, go ahead, take the time.
I'm obeying orders.
I release you. You can have my time. Go ahead, refute me.
You don't have any time either.
All my time is up. We'll come back to it. We're on mortgages, Bob.
We're on mortgages. I don't mind dealing with that. Look, I hope that this program is only half as successful as the president's last program to help people on mortgages.
Well, his last program was completely unsuccessful.
And
the fact that we're talking about moral hazard when it comes to helping people staying in their homes, while there was no talk of moral hazard when we are spending trillions to save the Wall Street banks that that took the kind of risks that brought practically the entire world's financial system into a meltdown, is unbelievable to me. I mean, there's no question that for everything that matters in this country, trying to keep people in their homes is incredibly important. I mean, it's not just about the economy. It's also about what's happening when whole communities are devastated. I mean, look at Detroit at the moment. You have entire areas which they are now considering turning into parks because there's such devastation from all these foreclosures. So I think this is the best robust program, not robust enough, not enough yet, but absolutely a great step.
And Bob, I guess with, I mean, there's 11 million households, a fifth of those who have mortgages are underwater. Maybe, is this almost like in the spirit of, is it biblical, the idea of a jubilee, a sort of debt forgiveness every, I don't know, 50 years or 100 years, where even if there's arguably some fault of those who took on more debt than they could manage, for the sake of society as a whole and its coherence, you do some kind of debt relief? Yes, no?
Well, it's funny you should bring up Scripture, because if there's a public policy issue that Scripture, as interpreted in Hebraic, Christian, and Muslim tradition, is very clear on, is usury and taking advantage of people and excessive interest. And I don't know how, in a country that claims to be religious and cares about divine wisdom, that has been so systematically ignored. We can't even have a limit on credit card interest that go up to 35-40%. But I do want to challenge this moral hazard argument. I'm just looking at a chart in today's Wall Street Journal, and in terms of the troubled mortgages, almost half of them are prime. And not to say that people who was conned into getting subprime mortgages should be vulnerable. And by the way, when you go under, it has nothing to do with whether you've made your payments, has nothing to do with your attitude. But if three houses on your block have been foreclosed, you're going to go under. Where you could have been kept doing your lawn and making your payments and have the best of loans. But the problem with this program, and here I do agree with Arianna, the administration has failed miserably in trying. They should have started with mortgages. That should have been the floor. And the fact is, the housing market is in really deep trouble now. And this program involves, I believe it's $12 billion. It's not even new money. It's taken from TARP money that was supposed to be being used for mortgages. And what has happened is that all of the efforts to get the banks to do the right thing here have failed. It's like pushing on a string. You know, we'll give you this incentive, we'll give you that incentive. And the fact of the matter is they're not doing it. And the one thing you have to do is empower the bankruptcy courts to go and force these agreements. It's in the long run interest of the banks, but they're not going to do it.
Tony, well, I was going to say, just got time for a brief last word on this. Well, Arianna, briefly, and then Tony.
Sure, you have time for me. Look, regarding usury, can I put a word in on behalf of usury? The use of usury was the beginning of human prosperity. Initially, the Christians in the Middle Ages and well into early modern times continued to believe in usury, and thank God they let the Jews maintain rational economic policy so that Europe could expand. The Muslim world, which continues not to believe in usury, of course, has suffered in poverty for 1,000 years, and now are trying to get around it by finessing their anti-usury laws. So usury, that is the rational value of money, is the cornerstone of human prosperity.
Briefly, Arianna?
Well, 30% interest rate on your credit card. I don't know if that's what early Christians considered the way to...
Tony didn't rule out that it could go to excess.
The way to advance capitalism. But, I mean, I'm just in total agreement with Bob about this. I mean, the impact of foreclosures around communities is so devastating that even the banks themselves, as Bob said, should be in favor of any loan modification that we can do to keep people in their homes.
Let us know what you think about the nuclear deal and about mortgage relief, this latest initiative at kcrw.com/LRC. Up ahead, the fallout from healthcare reform plus the Pope and the pedophile. You're listening to Left, Right, and Center.
Find more Left, Right, and Center programs and podcasts at kcrw.com.
Back again with Left, Right, and Center. I'm Matt Miller in the center. Robert Scheer is with me in Santa Monica on the left. Tony Blankley in Washington on the right. Arianna Huffington also here in Santa Monica and from the independent progressive blogosphere. Let's shift gears to healthcare, where the aftermath of the passage of healthcare reform and then with the last reconciliation bill being passed this week as well has, I don't know how to put this delicately, Tony, it feels like at least to my mind, let me put it that way, that it's sort of driven Republicans sort of off a cliff. And let me frame it this way, which is I don't understand. I mean, there's incredibly passionate and, in my view, intemperate language. Put aside the, you know, whether there are threats going on to various congresspeople, et cetera. But I don't understand why the GOP is so upset from essentially the Mitt Romney healthcare plan being taken national. The idea that this is, you know, a descent into communism seems to me on its face absurd, but I gather you obviously think differently.
Well, first of all, Mitt Romney lost the nomination for the Republican Party, let it be noted. We don't say it's a descent into communism, only into socialism. I'm delighted with the fact that the Democrats are doing their high fives and the president is mocking Republicans and the Democrats are saying the Tea Party is a racist and homophobic and terrorist. I've actually talked to several people in the Tea Party movement in the last 48 hours, and the level of fury is only rising. And so I follow Lenin's love for the phrase, the worse the better, and I look forward to November, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, round one to the D's, and we'll see who wins round two.
But why is, I guess, and Bob, I want to get you in on this then, is why, Tony, is a plan that basically subsidizes people to buy private health plans from among exchanges, the way Mitt Romney and the Heritage Foundation, where you're a senior fellow, Stuart Butler was one of the original authors of this idea 20 years ago. He's an old friend of mine. He and people at the Democratic Leadership Council, the kind of centrist, not centrist, but the sort of people in the wake of Clinton Care going down in 94, have been working on this for 15, 20 years. Romney was the model. It was now being done by Obama, who stiff-armed the left to keep out a public option and essentially do something that in you know, 5 years ago, I mean, Bob Dole was talked about this kind of approach. John Chafee did. How can this be sort of this? I sort of don't get the.
Gee, Bob Dole and John Chafee, you know, how could we be wrong? I give you the
Heritage Foundation.
I will give you the Wall Street Journal's Friday above the fold headline: debt fears send rates up regarding Treasury notes. They're trying to sell Treasury notes this week and failed because the bond buyers of the world are worried about excessive debt. So the issue isn't
what healthcare bill.
Well, I will tell you, my dear. So the question isn't whether it would be lovely if everybody could have health care and we could all waste a fortune on our deathbeds, but whether rather we're going to have, instead of $140 billion of deficit reduction over the first 10 years, perhaps a trillion plus, the real number, of deficit increase at a time when we're having trouble peddling our paper to the sharp-eyed eyes of the Chinese and the Saudis and the Hong Kong bankers, and to say next of the Luxembourgian bankers, who are particularly harsh men and women. So we're in a big, bad trouble, and the deficit is the issue. It's not all the lovely things that socialists would love to do for the people if only they had the money. They have only the money, the ability to steal our grandchildren's money, and the public is raging at this, and we will come back ferociously in November at the ballot box only.
Bob, we'll get you into this. But Tom, I don't recall you talking about this when Bush cut taxes, did the Medicare prescription drug program, and did two wars and borrowed all the money from China.
That was before we added $10 trillion to the national debt starting a year ago. That was before we had a $1 trillion stimulus package. That was before we had an 800 under George W. Bush, who I opposed on many issues, TARP plan. That was before we had a new entitlement in health care, for where we're going to now socialize middle class health care along with poor people and old people's. It was a long time ago, back when it was in America.
Bob,
Tony, do you need more time? Because I think you're in trouble today. And take all the time you want. You want my time? Is there anything more you want to add?
No, I am satisfied.
Okay. Bob, offer your own comments.
No, seriously, I don't get it. I just don't get it. First of all, what is the debt? Maybe I'm slow that way, but I don't get what this run-up of the debt has to do with health care. It seems to me you favored the bailout, as I understand it. You failed throwing all this money at Wall Street, which is in the trillions. That's why they're worried about the ability to sustain this debt. You favored the big military budget, which is at a higher, in real dollars, a higher point than any time during the Cold War. You favored that run-up of debt. And suddenly we have a health care program, which is very small in terms of its impact on the debt compared to these things that you have cheerleaded for, forgetting about the tax cuts that you favor. I really don't get your position. If the debt is what concerns you, why didn't you oppose the bailout? Why don't you want to cut military spending? And in terms of this health care, I think that frankly, I think it's such a moderate program, such a limited program, a kind of program that I think a moderate Republican of old, the Eisenhower-type Republican, would have embraced. It basically is a gift to certainly the hospitals, which will now have some of their patients covered where they had to pick up the freight. It certainly the AMA has endorsed it. How radical a socialist is that? And it seems to me the insurance companies will pretty quickly figure out how to game these insurance exchanges. So what is it exactly about it that you think is socialist?
Well, I had supported keeping the financial system from collapsing in September and October, November, December, January, February of 08, 09, as we've talked about on the show. Other than that, I've opposed all of these spendings. I opposed George Bush's excessive spending all through the 2000. I wrote scores of editorials at the Washington Times, where I was editorial editor, opposing that spending. I think the headline in the Wall Street Journal on Friday tells me what I've known for a long time, that we are in jeopardy of bankrupting this country, and I'd rather have everything other than national defense not be spent on in order to avoid bankruptcy, which is, I think, where we're going. So that's my little petty concern with it. I'd love everybody to be healthy and live a long time.
Ariana?
Okay, well, first of all, I think Tony has a point about where we are going in terms of the debt. The question here is that to say other than military spending is a ridiculous statement. To say that the country is going into bankruptcy, but of course we can afford any number of unnecessary wars, including what we're doing in Afghanistan, is ludicrous. You know, the whole point of empires is that when...
I oppose the war in Afghanistan.
Are you opposing it right now?
Yes,
are you
opposing the escalation? Since last September.
Great. Well, at least that
yes.
is... That,
I wrote, that I wrote is... seven editorials, seven columns opposing it. I was characterized as a modern-day copperhead on some blog site because I was opposing the war because I thought we had little chance of winning.
Okay, because right now you just said everything except national security. And my point is...
Which
that,
I do not include our policy, current policy
okay,
in Afghanistan.
But that's, you're definitely the wise minority in this. You and George Will on the conservative side.
I came in before George on that, by the way.
As always. But that would be something which we need to actually use a bigger megaphone to get that point across. And Barney Frank is planning to have a major press conference to look at how to include military spending in this whole deficit commission examination of discretionary spending, because right now the president has kept that out of any examination of our deficit.
Obviously, we're going to be coming back to this in the weeks ahead. Let us know what you think about the health care fallout and whether the GOP has what the Republican Party is making of all this at KCRW.com/LRC. Just a couple minutes left, and the lots of news this week about what Pope Benedict XVI did or did not know back when he was Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, the future Pope and Archbishop in Munich at the time, in terms of a priest who had been sent to therapy to overcome pedophilia, whether he knew about this, even though he was later involved with molesting more boys. And this being on the heels of just an eruption in Ireland, the U.S., other places of these sexual scandals involving the church. Bob, only a little time for us to go around the horn on this, but what do you make of all of this? Is this something that's been with us for hundreds of years? Is celibacy just a kind of archaic, obsolete idea for the priesthood that ought to be eliminated? What's your take?
Well, I think sexual repression leads to illness. You don't have to just believe in Freud. And I think the Catholic Church had this idea. I remember when I was a kid, I was born to a father who had been a Lutheran, a mother who was Jewish. And the one group I couldn't understand that was dominant in my neighborhood were the Catholics. And all I ever heard from them was don't masturbate, or they'll grow hair on you and your brain will fall out or something. Seems to me if these priests engage in a little autoeroticism, maybe they wouldn't molest boys. I think it's important to recognize here that you're sentencing people to a very abnormal existence. And clearly the proof is in the reality. It's just not the one church in the United States. It wasn't one decade. It wasn't permissiveness. The fact of the matter is this rot runs through the church internationally.
Tony, Ariana, then Tony, very briefly, just about 10 seconds each because we're at the end. We'll come back to this.
Just very quickly. I think this cannot be discussed in terms of sexuality. This is criminal. This guy molested like about 200 kids. Some of them were deaf and dumb. I don't know why we're discussing it in terms of sexual repression or masturbation. This guy should be in jail, and since he's dead, the Pope should be in jail, as Bill Maher said.
Tony, 15 seconds.
Pedophilia should always be prosecuted. Anyone who condones pedophilia should be prosecuted. I don't believe it's limited to any particular religious group. Regretfully, it is a universal phenomenon.
Let us know what you think at kcrw.com/LRC. We have reached that time once again for our famed end of show, Left, Right, and Center Rant, featuring very brief pet peeves today from across the ideological spectrum. Robert Scheer, about 15, 20 seconds each. It's your soapbox.
Yeah, let me continue in this. It's just not true that all churches, all people molest the young or rape them. The fact of the matter is the Catholic Church has a particular problem, and it runs through every country, and I think it has to be connected with their. They have said just repress and there will not be bad social outcomes. They repressed and they had horrible social outcomes.
Tony Blankley.
Berkshire Hathaway's bonds, Procter & Gamble's, Johnson & Johnson's, and Lowe's bonds have all been issued recently at a lower interest rate than Uncle Sam's. That's how dangerous the deficit is becoming. It's safer to loan money to Johnson & Johnson than it is to the United States government. Can you believe it?
Ariana Huffington.
Well, words have consequences, and all this venom that has been spewed by Glenn Beck and others on Fox, by many in the Republican leadership, all this talk of Armageddon is actually resulting in these terrible demonstrations of violence, throwing bricks through windows, cutting gas mains, et cetera, around the country.
I think the GOP crackup that we're seeing in the wake of health care reform's passage is a function of, well, three things. One is Republicans haven't lost in a long, long time. Bill Clinton, they defeated on health care, and so you never got that kind of thing that the GOP would have to respond to. But there's two core premises or two things that are going on that fundamentally affect the GOP's situation. One is the need for economic security in a global age, and the increasing anxiety of the middle class in this situation means people want government to do things like health care. That's something the GOP doesn't have a response to. And second, taxes are going to go up as the baby boomers retire, no matter who is in power. That contradicts Republican doctrine. They can't get over it. That's all the Republican crackup we have time for today in Left, Right, and Center. Thanks, as always, to Tony Blankley, Robert Scheer, and Ariana Huffington. Sarah Spitz produced today's program. Our technical director is J.C. Swadek. I'm Matt Miller. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week for more Left, Right, and Center.
So if you like pajamas,
I'll
wear pajamas.
You got pajamas.
But we know we need each other, so we better call the calling of all. Let's go.
You can podcast Left, Right, and Center, share it with a friend, or embed it on your blog from our new media player at kcrw.com. Send questions or comments to our blog at kcrw.com/LRC. Left, Right, and Center is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.